Accession number 28500, reel 13.
You were telling me about this school, that they found out you were an instructor, so did they expect you to teach somewhere?
Yeah, well, it was to teach the men, mostly because I think probably they had discovered that I had been on the west coast with the commander units, and they wanted somebody to instruct, to teach these people to land at various points along the coast. Well, but the war finished so quickly that I didn't, it wasn't required. So when I saw that was going to happen, I wanted to go to get free to go to the battalion. So eventually I managed to get the battalion at Tunis.
And can I just ask about this school? Did you say it was an American school?
Yes. Well, the Americans had, because they had been there before us, they took command of the school. So it was American orientated, and I didn't suit me. I didn't like that. But anyhow, I got away quickly and eventually arrived at the gardens at Tunis. And of course, what we were landed with was the covering of the huge prisoner of war camps. There's thousands, hundreds of thousands of prisoners, both Italian and German. And our duty was every day protecting to stop them escaping. And they had to be fed, and they had to be watered and all sort of thing. But that was boring. That was very boring. But then eventually after that, we went to Pantelleria, to the island of Pantelleria, where we found very few German infantry, but lots of German and Italian bands. And it was noted that when we withdrew from the island, that most of the jocks had a musical instrument of some kind. So I don't blame them for that. No, that was good. But I'm glad it ended like that, because it could have been a really dirty game. It could have been. But however, the Germans packed in, and we took over the island and moved back into where we had come from.
And can I just ask you your first impressions of Algiers? What did you think of it when you first arrived in Algiers? Do you remember what you first thought of it? Was it different?
Well, I had an idea that, you know, what it would look like. I had that idea, but of course we didn't have much time in Algiers. It wasn't there. Well, I went to this school, which is just outside in the outskirts of Algiers, and so we didn't see much of Algiers at all till I left and got transported to the battalion.
And was it up to Western standards, or was it quite poor compared to, you know, the conditions in Scotland?
Oh, no, I thought it was quite poor, really. You know, the local inhabitants were not very well fed, I suppose. But we didn't see much of that, no. But it was obvious that things weren't too bright in Algiers at that time. And of course, they had also been subjected to the American occupation, which had occurred a few months before that. So therefore, things weren't too good in Algiers.
And what about when you went to Tunis? Was that similar? You know, what were your impressions of Tunis when you went there?
Tunis looked much better. It did. It was quite a modern city. And of course, when we got there a few days before the actual parade of the 51st Highland Division, who led the into Tunis, and we were there to see that, and that was good. That raised morale considerably. It did. There were still pockets of Germans being rounded up here and there, but the war had finished, and what we were left with was a huge prisoner of war camp containing hundreds of thousands of Germans and Italian prisoners. So it was a blessing in disguise, really, because we were you felt that, well, we'd won the war in Africa, and it was now finished. Where do we go next? Well, we were quite sure we knew where we were going to go, but nothing was decided. And then suddenly we were told Italy. And we landed at Taranto in the south of Italy at the end of 1943.
Okay. Can I go back to Tunis, though, when you were speaking about the parade? You had joined the regiment by then, had
yep.
you?
Yep. Oh, yes. Right.
And had you only been back... Well, had you only been with the regiment a few days?
Oh, not very long when we got moving. And, of course, the prisoner of war camp, the Pantelleria invasion, and then we came back again to the mainland. And then from then we moved on to Italy in Taranto. At the end of 43.
And going back to the victory parade through Tunis, was it a large parade?
Oh, yes. Oh, it was a wonderful. It was quite unbelievable, you know, to see all the regiments forming up and to see them marching through. And, of course, what delighted me was the fact that it was the 51st Highland Division pipes and drums that led the led the procession. So that was good. It was good, yeah.
And was there more than the 51st there? Were there other, regiments and things who weren't in the 51st in the parade?
Oh, there were all sorts of regiments formed up behind the 51st, you know. It was really good. Of course, we had the 1st Battalion, Gordon Helders, the 5th, 7th Battalion Gordon Helders, they were both from the Alamein, and they were there, and of course we were there, although we had not taken part in that part of the proceedings, but here was three Gordon Helder battalions all congregated in the same place at the same time, and that was good. That was good.
And were you actually in the parade?
I was in it. Oh yes, I had the parade along with the rest of them, but it was something that we enjoyed. It was good. It was good. To me, especially, hearing the pipes and drums, you know, it made all the difference in the world. It did.
And do you remember any of the tunes that the pipes and drums played?
Oh, yeah, well, those usual Highland Division tunes, you know, the Heel and Laddie, and all the different tunes were played. And it's the Spays and Reels, too, in the evening. And there was a great gathering in the evening when the pipes and drums provided the music for Spays and Reels, which was really good. It was a real, what you could call, a Scottish scenario. I don't know. It was good. I enjoyed it.
And for the evening, was it like a ceilidh? Was it like a dance? Or was it just music that were playing?
Oh, just music. And there was dancing too. There was also dancing too. But of course, there was no women. You see, that was only all men. But dancing went on, and the pipe playing, that went on the whole evening. It was good. Yep. Always remember that. That was good.
And was that for all ranks or just the officers?
Oh, for everyone. Everyone, yes. It was a joy to think that the campaign in North Africa had been finished, and that we were the victors, and we were now enjoying this celebration of having won the battle against the Germans. So it was good in many respects, it was.
And the victory parade through the day, how did the locals accept it.
Oh, they enjoyed it. They thought it was good. It was good. You know, the amount of clapping and cheering and that went on amongst the civilian occupation was really good. Yeah.
So do you think they were happy about
it? Oh, they were. Think it was finished. No, it was finished, yeah.
And what type of dress did men wear during the parade? Did you wear some ceremonial dress or was it just battle dress?
Oh no, I had my kilt. I was dressed in my Highland dress along with the rest of them. All the officers paraded in kilt and dress. Yes, they did. And of course it was good to see the 1st Battalion and the 5th 7th Battalion also there dressed too. At the end of the day they were able to put their kilts on again after the battles of North Africa. Yes. It was good. So it was something that you could always remember. You know, it was a joy to think that it was finished. And even though all the casualties and that had happened all down through the way, right from Alamein, right through to Tunis, it was good to know that it was finished. That was the main thing. Yeah.
So even though these men had been through these battles, they still had their kilts with them for the big parade at the end.
Oh, there were some lucky ones, you see, who came through the whole thing, you know, and they were lucky. But there was an awful lot didn't come through it. And that was a sad business. That's what you remember, the ones that hadn't been here at Tunis to see the celebrations. You know, sad in a way.
And did you get a wee whiskey that day? Did you get a wee dram?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. There was whiskey. Yes, there was whiskey about enough. And, of course, each battalion had their own little store. I mean, they always kept a store so that we got a dram in the evening and then the dancing in the evening and that too. It just finished off the occasion, yes. But the main thing, of course, was the parade during the day when everybody marched through Tunis. That was good. That was really good.
And these prisoner of war camps that you were guarding, were they in Tunis or quite near Tunis?
Oh, yeah, they're just on the outskirts of Tunis, on the outskirts. But, oh, a tremendous area, huge area. And it had to be defended, it had to be protected, and it took a whole battalion, you know, to be able to do that.
And was this in 1943?
That was 43, yes.
Mm-hmm. And what type of accommodation did you stay in? Did you stay on this prisoner of war camp or something?
Oh no, we were billeted in various areas. Some of us were actually in old barracks. And the others were in the civilian occupation. Just depended where we could get fitted in. But the majority, of course, I think were mostly accommodated in barracks of some kind, or camps of some kind. But then we had to be close to the actual POW camp for being able to protect the whole thing, the whole round, because it was a large, large area, huge area.
Do you remember the accommodation that you were in? Do you remember the accommodation you got, you know, whilst you were guarding the prisoner of war camp?
Oh, my God. Each company had a definite job to do, you see. You had different perimeters that you had to protect, and each company was involved in all that. And then there was a question of the feeding of these prisoners. That had to be controlled also, and they're looking after them. But the main thing was trying to keep them in the camp so they couldn't get out. That was the main thing. So it was a perimeter business all the way around. And each company had a certain area to do that.
Which company were you with?
The company. I was in that the first company I joined in the Tunis was C Company. And we had a part of the perimeter to protect, you know, to look. Mm. Boring, very boring, but it had to be done.
And was there a proper fence round this prisoner of war camp?
Ah, well, there was concertina wire, not all round the whole thing, but the perimeter was about, I suppose, about 3 or 4 miles, you know, in length all round. It's a huge camp. Huge camp.
And what is concertina wire? What type of wire is that? Is it like a barbed wire?
No, it's a barbed wire, you see. And it's just rolled out and put round the area to try and stop them. And then, of course, we had transport on the outside of the wire, and every truck and that it was used had to cover the different areas. So even at night, lights went on, and of course we're trying to keep them from escaping from the camp. But a boring business, really boring.
And was it relatively easy for them to escape?
Pardon?
Was it relatively easy for them to escape?
Oh yes, they could escape, you see, that's the thing. Because it was such a vast area. I mean, it was easy for them to escape. But the way we worked it with the trucks and the soldiers and that, and the wire and so forth, it did make things difficult. But there's no doubt that a few of them escaped. I'm quite sure of that, yeah.
And was there men patrolling this wire? Was there soldiers?
Oh, yes. Patrolling all the time, you see. And then at night the lights went on, and you had to have the lights to cover the wire so you could see what was happening. Oh, yes. But it was a tedious business.
And did you take patrol there as well? Did you?
Oh, yes. Well, we were in charge of patrols, you see, going around in trucks and jeeps, going around and checking on the perimeter wire and the various points, and especially at night. It wasn't so bad through the day. You could see what was happening during the day, but then at night you had to have the lights on and be patrolling around the wire to make sure that that you were able to contain them. That was the thing, yeah. Night was the worst.
Did you ever catch anyone trying to escape?
Oh, there were a few. There were a few taken and put back in again, but very few. I think did a good job. Did a good job, but boring.
And was it mostly Germans or Italians who were in the camp?
Oh, no, the Italians were quite happy to sit. No, but the Germans were always ready to escape if they could. Oh, yes, they were always ready. Mm-hmm.
And could you speak German?
A little bit, just a little bit, a few words here and there, but make yourself known what you wanted to say to them. But, they were good soldiers. They were. The Afrika Korps was good infantry soldiers, they were. So different from the rest, you know, in Europe and the other areas. No.
Did they split up the ranks for these camps? Did they split the officers from the
Oh, yes.
Ranks?
Officers were always contained, you know, together, and the other ranks were segregated so that they didn't have officers, you know, telling them what to do and so forth. So it did help, yeah.
And which ones were in the camp that you were at?
Oh, we had German officers, Italian officers, Italian other ranks, and German other ranks all throughout the whole thing. Yeah, we were responsible for the whole lot. Yeah.
And how did you manage to keep them separate?
Oh, well, they were housed in different areas so that we could keep an eye on them, especially the officers. We weren't worried so much about the other ranks, but the officers we had to keep an eye on because they were the ones that could create the most damage, you know, in the camp. Mm-hmm. But we managed. But it was a huge business. Mm-hmm.
Did the camp have a name?
Pardon?
Did the camp have a name?
No, it was just a POW camp. But I don't think, probably a lot of people never realised that it housed the whole of the Afrika Korps that was left, and the Italian soldiers were left in Tunis. That was a finish, yes. took a while to round them all up from different areas, you see. There was different areas that they had been fighting in, and they had all to be rounded up and taken to Tunis and put into the camps. And then you had to watch again, you see, to keep the officers separate so that they couldn't do any damage, you know, in the camps.
And were you involved with the rounding up of these prisoners, or were you just involved with the guarding of them?
Just the guarding of the camp. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I presume that these men would have all still been in uniform, would they have?
Yes, it was mixed. Most had uniform. Like battle dress, you know, just ordinary battle dress. Officers, the German officers still had uniforms too. But on the whole, they were all in a uniform of some kind. Yep, they were all that. Mm-hmm.
So was it quite easy to see the difference between the officers and the
men? Oh yes, so you could tell. You could tell quite easily which was which. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And was there any of the top-ranking army officers that you had in the camp, do you think? Was there any high-ranking German or Italian?
Oh yes, there was quite a few high-ranking, but they were kept separate. They were separately held out with the prisoner of war camp. Aye. There was two or three generals in high ranks, but they were kept out of the camp altogether. Aye. So we could keep a close eye on them. Yeah.
And were there any elite German troops there? You know how they had these different troops, I believe the SS or something were...
Yes, well, Africa wasn't too bad, because the Africa Corps, they were very well disciplined, and they were good soldiers, and we didn't have that kind of dirty games that the other ones had. We didn't have that in North Africa, no. In Europe, the SS and the various other units, they were all baddies. They were. And you couldn't change them. No, but Africa was good. Full marks to the Africa Corps. Yeah. You know, we found that often when we're speaking to the soldiers that had come through from Alamein, you know, those that had been wounded, the Germans left them with cigarettes and water. No, no other units would have done that. No, but they did. And they found, my brother told me that they found often again wounded the British soldiers, but they all had cigarettes and water beside them.
So these were the Germans that were leaving?
That was done by the Germans, you see. It was after it gone. Right. But you didn't get that with the other ones. No.
And how were they reacting to the likes of yourself, who was now guarding them? Generally, if you spoke to them, were they okay?
Oh, yeah. You could feel the difference, especially amongst the other ranks. You could feel the difference there, you know. But on the whole, they were pretty well disciplined. They were. Yeah.
And what type of accommodation were they in? You know, what type of accommodation were the prisoners in?
Oh, they were just in tents, small tents, and very little. But of course, the weather was good, you see. It was warm, it was good, and they didn't suffer much from that, no. And the officers, they weren't any better off either. They were just kept together. And the close check on them, you know. But they didn't suffer any damage. No.
And do you think that they were getting adequate food and water? Do you think that they were getting adequate supplies?
Oh yes, I think they would, because it was a huge outlay to provide for all these kind of hundreds of thousands of prisoners, but they all got fed adequately. Yes, I believe. Yeah.
And what were they? I know they were in the camp because they were prisoners of war. But what was going to happen to them? Were they going to remain there, or were they being put somewhere else?
Well, at that time, of course, we left them in December 43 to go to Italy. And I'm not quite sure what actually happened, you know, after we had left. But they had been held there for some considerable time before they were checked and put somewhere else. But we left in December, so therefore I don't know what happened to them after that. No. But there was still a camp there a long time after we had left, still going on. Until they found the ways and means of being able to transport them to Europe or wherever they were going to put them, you see, that was the thing. But you were dealing with a lot of people. You see, it wasn't a question of 200 or 300 prisoners. It was thousands, thousands and thousands. Italians would have been easier because they just would have taken them back to Italy, you know, and finished with them. But the Germans, you'd have had to take them back to Europe somewhere and disengage them from the army. Yeah.
And whilst you were also on guard duty at that camp, was there any procedure for if you did find someone trying to escape? Was there a certain procedure that you followed?
Well, what normally happened, if you always found a few who would be trying to escape, which was a vital way as a soldier. I mean, but what you did with them was you kept them in solitary and away from the rest of them. So if somebody did try and escape and was caught, well, he wasn't put back into where he had been before. He was put into an area where he would be by himself and be more looked after. Careful. So that's the only thing he could do, of course. That's all you could do.
But if you saw someone trying to escape, was there certain things that you had to do to raise the alarm?
Oh, yeah. Well, the alarm was sounded, you see. And as soon as the alarm was sounded, then it was up to everybody in the area to find out what was wrong. And if there was somebody escaping, then grab him and bring him back. But not back into the camp again. He would go into another camp where he would be different. Right? Because there could always be a problem. It could always be a problem.
And whilst you were patrolling this fence, how many men would be patrolling it at one time?
Oh, well, you see, the whole battalion was patrolling, and there would be groups, transport, soldiers, and some on foot, some on transport, and patrolling the area all the time. But night time was the worst, because the lights had to go on, and the only way you could keep them in was by being close at hand and having the lights on so you could see what was happening. But that was the worst. Daytime wasn't so bad, because you had a general picture of what was going on all the time. But at night, it's a different story.
Mm. And the men patrolling on foot, were they generally in twos or just by themselves?
The patrolling, our patrols. Well, yes, we were billeted differently. You see, on the outside of the camp, and each platoon, each company would have a set job to do in a set area to patrol. And that was carried on. It was the only way you could do it, you see. So you just knew exactly what you had to watch for, where you had to go, and what you had to patrol.
And what would be the average area that you had to cover on this fence?
Oh, well, the perimeter went for miles, you see, miles. And you just got an allotted area to check. And that was done by the whole battalion